Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we like to remind you that every Sunday morning we have a Zoom fellowship worship service where you can actually watch this lesson and meditation along with other Unity folks and just have some community. Check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for the Zoom link. And if you do not get either of those, please call the office at 301-464-5581. It went out of my mind for a minute. Well, on that, we're going to get started right now with Pamela.
Thanks. Well, welcome and good morning to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 26th. And the key word is grace. And the affirmation is, I trust grace is my constant blessing. As an expression of God, I need not ever worry about earning God's approval or favor. Grace is my assurance that I am one with God and heir to all that God is. I know oneness during times of deep spiritual communion, understanding I am fully human and fully divine. Through this awareness, my experience of grace deepens. I understand grace as more than a gift from God and begin to see it as an aspect of my divine inheritance. Grace is not a blessing I need hope for. It is the blessing I can count on. It is trusting I will have what I need when I need it, that my support will come to me even from the most unlikely channels. Grace is knowing that God is with me and within me throughout my life. And the scripture reading is Ephesians 2:8, and it reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. So we're getting ready to step up another level today. The name of the lesson is Living a Grateful Life. But as we go along, you can also see that I could have called this what's called an inconvenient truth. And some of the things we're going to talk about today could be looked at as an inconvenient truth, all right? So even though, you know, Thanksgiving is, you know, gone, it was this past Thursday, you know, many of us still may be enjoying, you know, family and friends who might have come in town. We might be out of town ourselves, you know, still enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday. And, but, you know, after all, family and friends are the greatest part of our lives we can be thankful for, mainly because they give us the opportunity to practice living from a mind-heart connection, even though that may not always be easy, you know. And in essence, you know, the Sunday lessons always have embedded within them the idea of learning how to live from our soul as opposed to our ego. And I'm defining the soul as that aspect of our being which brings about a perfect union of our mind, body, heart, and spirit. And this typically cannot be accomplished without the conscious daily practice of living from a mind-heart connection in all aspects of our lives. And we're going to explain more what that means, you know. And a huge part of this practice is consciously being grateful all the time, no matter what. Gratefulness being a state of mind that's continuously aware that we are always in God's loving care. Again, no matter what. And yes, I agree that there can be, you know, things going on in our lives for which we are not grateful. And we've had many experiences in the lives of our family members that, you know, it's hard to say you're grateful, you're being grateful. But see, the practice of gratefulness, it's not about our challenges or those things that are challenging us. Rather, it's about being grateful for our divine connection that's guiding us through the challenges and hard times that we're going through. That's what the gratefulness is aimed at. It's, you know, so it's embedded in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is our divine eternal truth. God is always with us, and that's what we are grateful for. So living from our head or mind alone, without a heart connection, causes us to use our intellect to legitimize any fearful or unloving feelings and emotions we may be experiencing. We can say, I feel this way because. So when you hear yourself legitimizing your fearful or unloving reactions towards a person or a life experience, just be conscious of the fact that this is an indication that your mind is acting in isolation from your heart and without the benefit and guidance of your soul. Okay? And yes, I agree, you know, yes, life can catch us off guard, causing us to resort to reacting without the benefit and guidance of our soul. And this way of reacting can be so common that it would take a moment, you know, a monumental effort for us to consciously observe ourselves reacting this way. You know, again, here we go back again, self-observation without condemnation, you know. In an article titled, 8 Common Thinking Mistakes Our Brains Make Every Day. The number one is we surround ourselves with information that matches our beliefs. So we're constantly reinforcing our own belief system. Okay, and this statement applies to our preconceived beliefs about the outcomes of certain experiences of our lives, you know, the way we think things should be. You know, it's like we rerun the same old stories and apply them to present situations. Or, as we said before, we have a tendency to live from our history. Okay. Now, in this article, David McRaney explains the concept of confirmation bias. And he says, confirmation bias is expressed whenever your opinions or beliefs are so intertwined with your own self-image that you couldn't pull them away without damaging your core concept of self, causing you to avoid situations which may cause harm to those beliefs, okay? And so the big issue in terms of our spiritual transformation is that we are probably not aware that we are rationalizing and justifying ourselves in a way that interferes with our divine connection, okay? So metaphorically speaking, this universal presence we call God, you know, where we're doing that, justifying ourselves, is most likely shaking its head and saying, if you only knew the gift of God, okay? So our work on this spiritual journey is to unravel ourselves from ourselves so that we can consciously choose the way of spirit. Okay? So that way of spirit is the way of our heart connection, which is the way of wisdom and love, which we talked about a few lessons ago. And yes, I agree that the ego way of being, our natural way of being, the way we, you know, show up in the world, can be so intriguing because it is what we know and it is the easiest path for us to take. So this, to be the way that I am is the easiest path because that's just the way I am. It's just easy and just what I know. But again, just think about the fact that while we are busy doing our thing, right, being how we are, there's a still small voice inside of us that's always whispering, but if you only knew the gift of God, right? Would you still be that way? Would you still think that way if you only knew the gift of God? Would you still have that conscious bias, you know, if you knew the gift of God? So in Matthew 13, 11 through 15, Jesus explains the insight we have been given by God, okay? Now, this is a message. This is from the Message Bible. It says, you have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. But whenever someone has a ready heart For this, the insights and understanding flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to judge you toward a welcome, nudge you toward a welcome awakening. In your present state, you can still, you can stare until your doomsday and cannot see, and listen to your blue in the face and cannot hear. Of course, that's, you know, Jesus sharing that that bit of wisdom with us. So how do we turn to spirit so that our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears can be open, so that we can turn to spirit and be healed? And I repeat what I always say, this study of transition from ego to Christ is not about condemning where we are in consciousness right now. It's not about condemning how we are. Rather, it's about self-discovery and the ability to make more elevated choices based on divine guidance, okay? And that's what it said, Jesus, turn to me and be healed, mean healed of the level of thinking where we are now so we can be elevated to a higher level of thinking. So it's about being able to embrace our, here it is, inconvenient truth. Let me say that again. I'm going to say that different. It's about being able to embrace an inconvenient truth, okay? Inconvenient truth being, we say it's inconvenient because spiritual principles do not always make sense to us in our present state of consciousness. So we hear this way we're supposed to be, being loving all the time, grateful all the time, and it's inconvenient because it doesn't match sometimes what we're going through. But to repeat the title of this lesson, Living a Grateful Life, to do so requires constant conscious practice to cause a shift in consciousness. And again, I acknowledge that there is so many things in our lives for which we feel we just cannot be grateful for. But the gratefulness we are referring to is not about the outer life. Rather, it is about the inner life. It is about developing a perpetual relationship of gratitude with the divine intelligence that's always watching over you and paving the way forward for you. Okay? So if we look at the scripture, Psalm 69:30, it says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with thanksgiving. See, praise is just one of the ways through which our spirituality is developed and expressed. Let me say that again. Praise is just one of the ways through which our spirituality is developed and expressed. Praise is a divine quality of mind. So it's not just the expression, praise God, all right? Praise is the way to discovering our divine nature hidden in our consciousness, okay? Now, this is how the Revealing Word explains it. It says, the purpose of praise is to awaken in ourselves a higher realization of the omnipresence and power of God. Prayer and praise changes us, not God. The mental attitude that prayer and praise set up stimulates, quickens, and whirls into action the spiritual ideas we are striving for. Okay, so these are activities. You know, the praise consciousness is an activity that keeps moving us towards the state of consciousness we say we want to get to. So I repeat, Psalm 69:30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify God with thanksgiving. Okay. But this whole idea of praise and thanksgiving can only happen when we're able to turn to the power and presence within us, especially when things in our lives are challenging our peace. But think about it. We already know all of this, you know. When you come on these Sundays, you hear these lessons. There's a lot of it we already know, okay? And with us already knowing this, our work is to keep striving to understand the next step to allowing our transformation from ego to Christ. You see what I'm saying? So we'll say, well, I know that, okay? So we keep moving it up a notch, right, to the next step of us understanding this transformation we're trying to make. So another key for us to explore in our journey to spirituality is the practice of humility. See, our ego is high-spirited, high-minded, you know, on its high horse a lot of the times. And it has its own way of doing things, which is why Jesus expressed, again, let me say, our ego is high-spirited, and Jesus expressed, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. With the kingdom of heaven being the realm of inconceivable truth, okay? So he's saying when you're poor in your own spirit, your own ego, high-spirited ego, when you reduce that dominion within yourself, it helps you to reach that kingdom of heaven, which is a realm of inconceivable truth, or like to say, the realm of infinite divine ideas. And these exist in our consciousness, where we come to know and understand how God is working in our life and affairs. If only we could fully understand the power of choosing the realm of inconceivable truth over the high-spirited nature of our ego, we would truly come to know the gifts of God. And this is not to say that we're not doing okay in our lives with our intellectual ego perspective, right? We say, well, I'm doing okay, with my ego intellectual perspective. We don't say it like that. It's just that there is so much more. There's much, much greater. There's much, much greater aspect within our own being to tap into, okay? So the concept of the word humility expresses a way of being that's quite different from that typically chosen by the ego. And as we shared before, transcendence is a level above self-actualization, member of Maslow's hierarchy. So self-actualization being, look what I have done, what I have accomplished. But transcendence elevates us to the level Jesus expressed in John 5:30 when he says, I can do nothing on my own. I seek not to do my own will, but the will of God. And even though we can intellectually grasp this explanation of humility, the question is, do we have the commitment to do it, live it, be it in all aspects of our life experience? So the answer is typically not without a greater connection to the power and presence within us, okay? We know these things and we work hard to do them, but it becomes more natural as we, create a greater and greater connection to that power and presence within us. So in Cahill Gibran's book, Jesus, the Son of Man, we read how Jesus demonstrated humility by washing the feet of the disciples. Now, you are familiar with that. Matter of fact, many years ago, we used to have a Thursday night. It was a Thursday night service where we, Eamon was the one who loved to do that, was washing folks' feet, So Jesus is demonstrating humility by washing the feet of the disciples. And then he asked him, do you know what I have done to you? Now, see, this question is a clear indication that he was teaching something that we all need to learn. His question has to do with position and status. Do you know what I have done to you? All right, position and status, which is the key driving force of our ego. Okay, our ego is always concerned about position and status. But this is what Jesus said to them. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. That is my position or status. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done. Okay, so metaphysically, the washing of feet symbolizes a denial of material position or status. And Jesus, who represents divine love in action, uses this lesson to demonstrate how to reverse your ego's need for position and status so as to bring about a different experience in your relationship with others. The main thing to understand about humility in the context of our quest for spiritual awakening is that humility takes you out of the realm of intellect with this need to rationalize and justify and places you in touch with your inner realm, which is the kingdom of heaven, the realm of inconceivable truth, or as I like to say, the realm of divine ideas. So think about this. When somebody says or does something which throws you off your spiritual path, it can cause you to shift right away from soul to ego, right? From head to heart. From heart to head, okay? This shift results in your experiencing some form of fear, maybe getting your feelings hurt, which leads to anger and contempt and jealousy and pompousness or whatever the reaction may be. When this happens, You have, in essence, entered into the illusion in which there is a victim and a victimizer. Okay? When you detect that you have allowed this to happen, the key to shifting back from victim to master is to always remember that this person or situation confronting you is really only there. Here's one of those inconceivable truths. Only there to awaken you, to quicken within you one of your 12 spiritual gifts, whichever one you need in this particular instance. Okay? The person or situation is not there to make you angry or fearful, even though that is what it may seem to be, it seemed to be doing. Okay? Now, this is the part that may be hard to hear. All right? We're getting ready to take this up another level. We do not need help with being angry or fearful, because at some level within us, we are already angry and or fearful. How do we know? Because of the ease with which we can become defensive, fearful, or angry. See, in order for fear and anger to pop up so quickly, so easily, it had to have already been within us before the person said or did anything, or before the life challenge presented itself. So what we're working on in this lesson is how to live our life from our soul as masters. Why? Because slaves and victims of life cannot be grateful in all things. Okay? Now, again, this message is being directly to you and to me. Okay? It's coming out of my own thinking. I do realize there are things going on in the world that require a whole nother level of thinking. But this is for us, you know, as we are even looking at those things and figuring out, how can I help? How can I be, you know, be helpful in that? See, only masters of life can be grateful in all things. And we are defining a master of life as being capable of maintaining a single focus by remaining grateful for the power and presence of our indwelling Christ in the midst of the people and circumstances that may be challenging us. As we read in Matthew 6:22, Jesus explained, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. But because of the nature of life, it may be difficult to keep our eye single. We have all struggled or are struggling with difficult situations in our lives. So it may be difficult to accept and live by the spiritual principles we are learning. Again, this is meant, what is meant by an inconceivable truth. What I'm going through right now, what you're saying to me, is inconceivable. I cannot figure out how to apply that. Okay. So to move this lesson up another notch, in John 13:18, we read that after Jesus taught the lesson of humility by washing the disciples' feet, he said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And of course, he was referring to Judas. Okay. Now, again, this is going up another level. Metaphysically speaking, Judas was necessary to help Jesus to achieve the final step in his spiritual transformation. And Jesus was thankful for Judas for the role he was to play in Jesus' complete awakening. And again, let me just explain. This is the next level of consciousness for us to hear and try to understand. When Judas brought the soldiers to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him, Jesus said to Judas, you were patient with me. You could have done this yesterday. There's a powerful lesson in that line from Jesus. Jesus is saying, yesterday I wasn't ready, but today I am. And this is the meaning of the scripture, in everything give thanks, because as challenging as life can be, the lessons life brings to us could have been done yesterday. And metaphorically, yesterday means a time when we were not mentally, emotionally equipped to deal with it. Okay. There's always a lesson to be learned from all that we encounter on a spiritual journey that, if learned, will lead us out of the valley, but we have to be ready and willing to be led out of the valley. Okay. And part of this idea is coming from, which I'm going to quote at the end, a story that's in Science of Mind magazine, actually today. So Jesus was expressing that the challenges that come into our lives come at a time we're ready for them, even though we can feel that there's no way I'm ready for this. And believe me when I say that I know this as this is an inconvenient truth. as when you fall into that slave or victim mentality, that's when we find ourselves moaning and groaning and wondering, why is this happening to me? Masters understand that the situation or person before them is there to awaken them more fully, to strengthen them, to turn them towards their indwelling Christ. So simply a master or victim mentally cannot understand the ways of mastery, and a slave or victim does not understand that if I can overcome this challenge before me and move through it, I will become infinitely more powerful, more spiritually aware of the activity of God in my life. And I'm willing to bet that there are many of you hearing this are saying, absolutely, I have had that experience, okay? And this was the understanding that was being taught to us by our elder brother and wayshower. So even though Simon Peter, in that situation, drew his sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant, trying to protect Jesus from what was about to occur, Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup which your Father has given me? And to drink from the cup means to take on the consciousness of mastery. Jesus knew that he had to drink from the cup that was being presented to him, meaning he had to take the next step to enter into supreme mastery. And in our individual lives, drinking from the cup and entering into a consciousness of mastery is being able to live our lives with our mind and heart working together, always focused on the unlimited abundance and divine love that God is. And yes, I agree that we do find ourselves remembering at times that, you know, God is the source of my supply. You know, we'll say, oh, God is the source of my supply. But if we had not made a strong commitment to drink from the cup of life and live a consciousness from a consciousness of mastery, we will have moments where we'll slip back into believing in the fear created by the challenges in our lives instead of being grateful for the opportunity to awaken and grow to greater levels of mastery. And again, I know that's, you know, a whole nother level of thinking about this process. But Jesus thanked Judas for helping him to fulfill his mission, even though Judas did not know that that's what he was doing. How many of us can raise ourselves out of the darkness of thinking, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? And into the light and love of the Christ, which would help us to understand enough about what is really happening to say, thank you for being patient with me. You could have done this yesterday. But you know that yesterday I wasn't ready to deal with this. However, today I am. Today I'm ready to move to the next level of mastery, and you're here to help me. But let's be clear about what we're saying here. This does not mean that we need to condone or excuse the negative behavior of others or remain in a destructive, unsafe situation. On a physical level, we always need to get ourselves to safety and or call on those who can help us to be safe. But what we are saying is to not allow life circumstances or people to reduce us to being victims, because we are all masters who have maybe might have lost sight of that truth, but we are masters and we are committing ourselves to returning to the truth about ourselves. And for this understanding, we are truly thankful. So I'm going to end with this quote from Science of Mind magazine. It's actually today, from today. It says, befriend your fears today. Befriend your fears today and break through the barriers that will be holding you back from mastery. And if in the process your world starts shaking, know that means your breakthrough is coming. And I'm going to leave you with this affirmation. I walk through my fears and know that my breakthrough is at hand. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, let's settle into this sacred space. Gently close your eyes if you wish and place your feet flat to the earth. Take in three deep breaths and exhale. And as you're breathing, you feel your body beginning to settle into this comfortable position where you are. As you turn within to pause for a few moments away from the hustle and bustle in your day, begin by noticing the pattern of your breathing. Again, slowly breathe in and slowly breathe out. And as you slow your breathing, you also shift your attention to your chest, noticing the gentle movement as you breathe. Gentle expansion as you inhale, gentle contraction as you exhale. While continuing this gentle rhythm of breathing, you begin to relax the rest of your body. And please take the following words as your very own. From this place of peace, I open myself in mind and heart to oneness with the divine within. In this moment, I welcome grace. Grace is the upward pull of the universe active in my life. When I am restless, it soothes me. When I am fearful, it restores my faith. I bask in the feeling of that upward movement in my life. I feel my heart being lifted by grace and feel my mind gaining clarity, understanding, and wisdom. This is the upward pull towards my highest and best. The pull of grace shows me the next right step on my path. I rest in this awesome feeling of grace, filling my body and mind from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Grace lifts me ever and ever upward. Please use the next few moments as you wish to pray for grace in your life and the lives of all people. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and that you have answered them as you always do. We are also thankful for the gift of your presence in all our lives. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join your Unity family.
Thank you, honey. That was wonderful.
I loved your message today.
Yeah, good, thank you. All right, this is a time we, you know, practice and affirm our gratefulness for all the blessings that are in our lives. I know sometimes it's challenging to think about blessings when we have a lot of stuff going on, but as we said in the talk this morning, it's really more about being thankful to for the power and presence of God that's always in our lives, leading us and guiding us. So with that in mind, let's say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And still holding that thought in mind, you know, this Unity is your spiritual home where you get your spiritual food from. And it's, you know, a place that you cherish as being part of your life. So, you know, we're coming out with the commitment form soon for 2024. And the commitment form really is more about than just money. It's about, you know, how you want to serve in your Unity home. So, you know, when you get that form, think about, you know, just to ask your heart, about your giving, your giving of your time, talent, and treasure, as we used to say. And just hold that in mind. So with that in mind, just say our offering blessing together, holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue
the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now we have light notes.
All right, so light notes for today. It is once again time for supporting the food pantry for Christmas. The food pantry is no longer accepting food baskets, but they are accepting monetary donations. So with those donations, they will purchase grocery store gift cards so that the folks that need them can buy their own food for the holidays. We are very appreciative of your participation in this sacred service to our Bowie neighbors. Our next in-person and Zoom service is on Sunday, December the 3rd. We'll be having music with Faye Hunt Jones and Dominique and friends. We are eagerly waiting to see you there. Advent begins on December the 3rd, and Advent is the spiritual preparation for the rebirth of the Christ within. Advent offers the opportunity to set our intentions for experiencing the season. The 2023 Unity Advent booklet called The Sweetest Christmas offers daily inspiration to reflect on the meaning of Christmas and remember the divine born in you. No matter how you are feeling, it will help you share your peace, express your love, and celebrate this holiday season. Kathleen Bailey will be facilitating a Wednesday discussion group on the Advent booklet from Unity, which were mailed out last week, so many of you should have received them. The group will meet on December the 6th from 7 to 8 p.m. Please check your e-newsletter and updates for details. And the 21st Century Ministry Enhancement will be presenting another webinar called Renewing the Soul, Empowering Ministry Leaders and Board Members Through Self-Care. It is sponsored by Unity Worldwide Ministries, the Eastern Region and the Southeast Region of Unity Churches. During this webinar, you will experience the common challenges that get in the way of taking care of yourself while serving others. Come prepared to pause, reflect, and take action. That'll be Wednesday, December the 13th from 10:30 to 12:30 p.m. and Thursday, December the 14th from 6:30 to 8:30. The fees have already been paid for you to participate. And on December 31st, New Year's Eve, but it'll be in the morning, we'll have our in-person annual Burning Bowl service for New Year's. Please join us for this meaningful service at 10:30 a.m. at the Kenhill Center. That time will be 10:30 a.m. And at this service, we will have the opportunity to put away negative thinking patterns and past regrets and prepare ourselves for a new way of thinking in 2024. Let's create the life we want to live. And that concludes my announcements.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, hey.
Yeah, what time is it? It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you enjoyed it. Next Sunday
is our in-person.
Yeah, we have, again, an in-person service at our facility on Kenhill Drive. So please come and be part of that. We're going to have some great music, and it gives you a chance to interact with your Unity family. If you are watching this on YouTube and you have not ever been to an in-person service or to our in-person facility on Kenhill in Bowie, please, either call the office. Again, 301-464-5581, or go onto our website at unitycenteroflight.org. We look forward to seeing all of you, and have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.